I used to be a harsh Islamophobe at one time. I didn't know a lot about Islam other than the negative things that I had heard from other Islamophobes, like, and a lot of that was due to ignorance and fear of what I was told. You know, all the other career politicians on there saying Islam hates us, they want to kill us, they want to take our freedoms away, and this and that, and so
are you ready to actually take your shahada now?
I am. Let's do it.
Bring it on. Take Sammy aside. Give him a tour of the D Center. What do you think?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
So we transforming this from people worshiping the creation to worshiping the
Allah
Creator.
Allah bless your efforts, Eddie.
How you doing, brother?
Good. How you doing, man?
How does gutters look?
All right, so as you can see, we're getting to work, and we need your support. So go ahead and help us to get this where it's top-notch, inshallah.
As Eddie was walking me through the facility, he was showing me that he has a vision of having an Islamic school, a soup kitchen. The neighbors around here benefit from the generosity of the Muslims. This has the potential to be a beacon of light for the Ummah. Join us in this project, inshallah, so we can establish the beautiful Deen Center. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Subscribe, hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting episodes like this one. My next guest went from being a harsh Islamophobe, listening to career Islamophobes, people who are in the business of lying, spreading misinformation, spreading this manufactured hate and this fear, capitalizing on people's ignorance. But he said, you know what? Something went off. And he said, there's got to be more to the story. There's got to be another side to the story. He looked into Islam, and now he's here with us. We're excited to have him on, John Patterson, to share with us why he went from being, why was he an Islamophobe in the first place, a harsh Islamophobe, and now he's on the Deen Show to take his shahada to accept Islam. We'll be right back with John Patterson here on the Deen Show.
Let me introduce you to my fame. We have one God, his name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How you doing, Dr. Sabil, and our friend John Patterson? Is that right? I can hear you, John.
Hi, Eddie. It's great to meet you for the first time. And Dr. Sabil, it's good to meet with you again. Yes, I do have quite the story for you. So I hope you're ready for it. I hope we have plenty of time to cover all this. I told Dr. Sabil that I'd like to come up to the studio if we don't have enough time to talk about it all. I know Zoom calls usually only last 45 minutes, but if we can cover all of this today, I'm more than happy to do it all right here and now.
Sounds good. Where are you coming in from? Where are you located?
I live in Ohio, around the Dayton area.
Mm-hmm. So tell us how we got to where we are here right now. Just fill us in with that. How did you get to actually calling? Did you call the number? Have you been watching some of the shows? And then what led you to actually calling up? And now we're here talking. Fill us in.
Well, I used to be a harsh Islamophobe at one time. I didn't know a lot about Islam other than the negative things that I had heard from other Islamophobes, like the Sam Shimones of the world, the Christian Princes of the world, and the David Woods of the world, and what have you. And that had formed a very negative image of Islam within me. And a lot of that was due to ignorance and fear of what I was told, not what is actually in the Quran, how Muslims actually live, how they treat other people. And so I guess I should go back to where it all started around 9/11. Before then, I didn't know anything about Islam, like most Americans don't. If you look at where we're geographically located, I think the closest Muslim majority nation is in Morocco, which is like 6,000 miles away and across two separate oceans. But after 9/11 happened, that's when it started to get my attention about Islam, along with so many other people's attention about Islam, in a negative way. And that was in part because you had politicians like George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and, you know, all the other career politicians on there saying Islam hates us, they want to kill us, they want to take our freedoms away and this and that. And so I think that's when you see Islamophobia today and how bad it is, that is when it really started. It was around 9/11. And then, of course, after the U.S. invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, after we had pulled out of Iraq, and then you had the power vacuum, which led to the formation of ISIS, and you all the terrible things that ISIS was doing to Muslims and to Christians and to anyone else, that threw gasoline on the fire with Islamophobia. And that's when you saw, just in my opinion, when you saw these guys, these Islamophobic guys, come up on the internet and gain popularity and all of that. They did so at a time when ISIS was really, really active. I mean, you had the terrible incidents like the beheading of certain reporters. And I mean, just, I don't want to go into all the graphic things that ISIS did. I'm sure that you gentlemen know what they all did. But that is when the career Islamophobes really started to gain popularity. And then, you know, of course you had 9/11 before that, but before those two things happened, you didn't really, I mean, Islamophobia, I mean, it was a little active, but it wasn't as much as it is today. And so because of my fear of Islam and things that had been taught to me about Islam, but not what I actually knew about Islam, when you have somebody who doesn't know any better and they hear these things constantly by politicians and other Islamophobic actors, it creates a negative image of Islam based on fear and ignorance. And so I used to say a lot of terrible things about Islam, about the Prophet of Islam, about Muslims, when I didn't really know who you were. I had an image of you that was taught to me by other people. I didn't know about the Prophet of Islam. And for example, I didn't know that for the first 13 years after he became a prophet, he suffered some of the most brutal persecution at the hands of the Quraysh before God finally gave him permission to defend himself. I mean, him and his companions had suffered physical beatings. I mean, they were driven out of places that they had lived. And it wasn't until finally, after 13 years, did God give him permission to defend himself and fight back. See, I didn't know that. Basically, what I was taught about the Prophet was he was just this guy who got on his camel and picked up his swords with all of his companions, and they went around the desert just killing Christians and Jews and this and that. And so that is what formed the negative image of Islam within me. But I remember when I was active against Islam, one of the things I used to have in the back of my mind is, you know, maybe there's more to the story. Maybe what I'm being taught isn't entirely accurate. Maybe I'm being unjust. And so finally, a few years back, I just decided to take a break from politics and religion in general. And I decided to, you know, just to concentrate on my relationship with God. And And so I decided to leave that path and not be active on social media anymore in regards to this stuff. Now, as far as me being involved in that movement, nobody ever heard of me. But then again, I wasn't really active on YouTube. It was mostly on my Facebook account with a few, friends of mine here or there. I mean, I'm not excusing the attitude that I had. I wasn't really interested in making a business out of it that some of these other people that are in the Islamophobia business are. And to be clear, Islamophobia is a business. These people that are involved on these sites that are going after Islam, they're doing it for Patreon donations, for views. They want Muslims to be angry. They want Muslims to be divided. They want acts of terrorism so that they can then turn around and take verses from the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Hadith, and then shotgun it on the internet to people who just don't know any better. That's the entire goal.
So, Brother John, alhamdulillah, I have a quick question to ask you right at where you stopped here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are so many other faiths out there. There are so many religions out there. What made you to consider Islam? I know that you woke up to Islam at 9/11, I guess, right? Just like many other Americans. So why consider Islam? You could have just thought, okay, fine, Islam is one more faith, but why look into it and now today trying to commit to it?
That's a good question. I think the first thing that comes to mind is when you look at the Old Testament of the Bible and the attributes and dictates of God in the Old Testament, with how he governed a society, with the guidance he gave to the prophets, with the consistent message of worshiping one God, not two, not three, not many gods. And then when I did get curious and read the Quran, I saw huge similarities between the God of the Quran and the God of the Old Testament of the Bible. And so that got me even more curious. You see, what a lot of the Islamophobes don't realize is the more you go after Islam, it's going to get people curious about it, as it did with me. And so I started looking at the Old Testament. I started looking at the Quran to see the similarities. Then I took into account that there's so many different versions of Christianity that to try to pick the right one is like playing the lottery. I mean, with my respect to other Christians out there. And Jesus himself said in the New Testament of the Bible that he would have one flock and one shepherd. So he made clear he was opposed to the idea of many different sects of Christianity and schools of thought about Christianity and denominations of Christianity. Jesus himself made that clear. He said one flock and one shepherd. Then I also looked at how Jesus said in the New Testament, he limited himself to that of a human. When he would say he himself, he can do nothing without God's approval. So how can Jesus be God if he's saying he needs the approval of God to do something? Other times when Jesus said, when he told one of, and I forget the verse, excuse me for that, but he told one of his people that was asking a question, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. And so that really made me start to question the things that I was taught about, Christianity and who Jesus was. Then I also looked at the Council of Nicaea, which most Christians don't even know about the Council of Nicaea. They have no idea how there was a lot of books that were compiled to be put in the Bible that were rejected. And as far as I know, we don't know what was in those books. We don't know what was said. there could have been conflicting reports about Jesus and his message that were rejected at the Council of Nicaea for whatever the reason. And so my question is, why? Why were these books rejected? Why were only Matt, Mark, Luke, and John included in the New Testament of the Bible? And then, of course, you had the epistles from Paul, and then you had, of course, you know, Peter and the book of Acts and all of that, and that's fine. But why were these other books rejected?
Right. So, John, in the Council of Nicaea, you know, books could have been a matter of discussion. But mostly what happened in there, it was monotheism was diluted. They equated Jesus along with God. So now they have a binity. Then in the year 381 or so, that's when they included the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And that's how the Trinity was formulated, right? So Council of Nicaea was dilution of monotheism.
And that's not the first time I've heard that. And so... so basically, that's almost 400 years after the death of Jesus was the Trinity actually formed.
Yeah.
And so again, that when you looked at the similarities of the Old Testament and the Quran with God's attributes and the similarities there. And I want to take a minute to get back to the messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yes. And when I found out that he was not involved in an act of violence until after 13 years of brutal persecution, that really wanted me to look more into his life and to see exactly who this man actually was. And I remember thinking that, assuming this man was just this awful person that so many Islamophobes say, that why would over a billion people follow him? I mean, are they all insane? Are they all crazy? And so that didn't make sense to me. How, if this man was just a terrible person, how could all these people follow him? And so I got on YouTube one day, and I wanted to actually see what the Muslims have to say about Muhammad, peace be upon him. And so there's a YouTube video entitled "The Life of Muhammad" by Yusuf Islam. It's only about an hour long, but it talks about how when he was born in very harsh conditions, obviously from being in the desert. He was an orphan. He lost both of his parents. How he was called the most trustworthy person by the people who knew him, and how it was at the age of 40. So he had lived, you know, half of his life by the time he was given his first revelation. And even after he was given the first revelation, he was afraid. He didn't know if he should continue going forth on this path. And so what I'm getting at is, he didn't wake up just one day and decide to throw off his life, the life that he had been living, and then take on this life of brutal persecution and to try to continue to spread the message of one God. And I mean, it's a beautiful presentation of his life. And then it talks about how he was driven out of Mecca, and how he had sought refuge first in a Christian town. I forget the name. I think it's modern day Ethiopia today. And all the times that he tried to make peace, all the times that he had tried to just preach his religion peacefully, was met with hostility and violence. And so when I look at all of that, along with the doubts that I had about Christianity, I think that's what finally wanted me to accept Islam and to embrace Islam and then I look at how charitable Muslims are today. You're the most charitable people on the face of the earth. Not even any other religion comes close. When I look at your sense of community that you all have, that's when I decided I wanted to become a Muslim and to embrace the faith of Islam. When I found out who Muhammad really was, the person that he really was, not what was told to me by other people who, you know, for whatever the reason, just want to make a profit on the internet. And when I was involved in that negative stuff, I didn't care about money. I was genuinely afraid. You know, I didn't care about making a profit or any of that. And so that's when I put aside all my biases about Islam, and I decided to contact Dr. Sabil. And I wish I would have originally taken my Shahada around 2 years ago, Dr. Sabil, when I originally had contacted you. At the time, with my wife, when she found out I wanted to embrace Islam after being a harsh Islamophobe for so long, it was quite a shock to her. And so it took me a while to actually show her the teachings of what Muhammad actually taught and what he stood for. So it took me a while to win her over. And while I wish I still would have taken my Shahada then, now I feel I'm finally ready. And so now I try to compact a lot of that into this presentation today, because I didn't know how much time you guys had, and you know, there's so much more I wanted to address. I've been talking with Brother Sabil. I've been texting him about different thoughts and ideas I've had to expand the Dawah. Brother Sabil, I saw your video where you had said 25,000 people in America embrace the faith of Islam every year, and then you don't really hear from them that much after that. And I think I think I have an idea on how we can stop that. You see, most churches in America today, once somebody becomes a part of their faith, they're happy for them and all of that. But after they accept the faith, they're not really involved in their lives anymore. I mean, they don't call them. They don't check up on them. They don't invite them to go do things together. And so I see an opportunity for the Dawah here in America today. When somebody embraces the faith of Islam, we need to bring them in as a part of the family. We need to look after them. We need to check up on them. And so as Muslims, let me say something. Your greatest strength that you have, and never forget this, is your sense of community. America right now is a very divided country politically. There's really no sense of community left in America anymore. And so while I don't wish misfortune upon anyone in my country today, there's an opportunity now for Islam to offer Islam and to say that, hey, whatever you may be lacking in the community today, we can fill that void and just bring up what Islam has to offer. You know, any good salesman will tell you that the facts are always secondary to the feelings. And I'm not saying to dilute the facts or anything. What I'm saying is there's an opportunity now for the Dawah to present that community, to market that community, and to say, you know, hey, you know, if you become a Muslim, you'll have brothers and sisters for life. We'll look after you, and you'll always have a family that'll always be there.
Yes, Brother John, that's a good observation. And, you know, with Allah's help and you getting involved, right, I wish for you, we wish for you, that you become a scholar of Islam, a speaker of Islam, a sharer of Islam, and an ambassador of Islam. All right. So that's my prayer. That's our dua, supplication for you, that we need good people. We need good humans. MashaAllah, Allah has honored you. Allah has guided you. So all of us together, inshallah, we can show the realities of Islam, that what Islam is not, but what Islam is. So when I heard your story, I have, you know, feelings of joy, then have feelings of sadness. The sadness is because, you know, there could be millions of people just like yourself who have not wakened up to the positive aspect of Islam, to what Islam really is. They only know Islam what the media is saying. So that's the sad part. but I'm joyous for you and many other Americans who actually woke up to Islam and now they have investigated Islam from a, you know, unbiased point of view, watching the videos, conversing with people, asking questions, seeking Allah's help. So that's where we want many of the people, all of the people to be. And all of us together, inshallah, with Allah's guidance, we can do that. So inshallah, right? So without delay, Brother Eddie, Brother John, mashallah, he's ready for Shahada. Today is a really blessed day, auspicious day, the day of Friday. I mean, any day is good for Shahada, Brother John. But today is a really special day, Friday, right? Friday. So before we recite the Shahada, what we usually do is, the Shahada, for those who may be listening who may not know what Shahada is, before a person embraces Islam, they need to recite the testimony of faith in English so they can understand, and for the sake of formality, also in Arabic. But before they do that, it's important for a person to also know the fundamentals of Islam, even though you may have been doing research for 2 years, 3 years, or maybe 23 years since 9/11. It's important for you to know, Brother John, just the six beliefs and the five pillars at least, right? So at least you would know that what you're coming into, and then you would be saying the Shahada with full consciousness in the context of those beliefs and those pillars. So you may already be aware of the six beliefs. The very first one is to believe in the absolute oneness of God, that God is only one. He's not one in three. He's not a human. He's not an idol. He's not a creation. He is the creator of the whole creation. The second important belief is to believe in the angels that God has created. The third one is to believe in all the messengers and prophets that God has appointed to guide humanity. See, to guide humanity, God himself does not come down and becomes a human. But he picks and he honors from the humans, messengers and prophets, and then he sends revelation to them. And they in turn, they share the revelation with their people. So who do you think, Brother John, is the very first prophet and the last prophet according to Islam?
I would say from what the little research I've done, the first prophet would be Adam, and the last prophet would be Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Very good. Peace be upon all the prophets and messengers. And we take Jesus to be only as a prophet, not as God, not son of God, but one of the prophets in the chain of prophethood. Okay, that's very good. And number fourth belief is to believe in all the books that God has revealed as a guidance to humanity. So the previous books given to Moses and Abraham and David and Jesus, peace be upon them, they were not preserved. People changed them. We don't have them in the pure form. So God sent the final book, the Quran, as a guidance for humanity. And the Quran is the one God has made the commitment to protect it. So I was saying that we believe in the divine revelations that came before the Quran. We believe in them in the original form, but not in the current altered form that they have. So Quran is the last revelation God has sent for all of humanity's guidance through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. All right, so the Quran and the prophetic example, they form the basic teachings of Islam, the basic guidance. The fifth belief, Brother John, is to believe in the day of resurrection and the day of judgment. You know, just like at the end of a semester when we went to school, there is evaluation. At the end of our life, when God will bring us back to life, would be our grand evaluation of how we live this life. So on that day, a person goes to paradise by Allah's mercy, if he or she had the right belief, worshipping and submitting to only one God, and then doing the good deeds to the best of their ability. If they fall short, they directly pray to God. Nobody dies for us. There is no mediator between us and the Creator. And the last important belief is to believe in the divine decree. That means anything good or bad is coming from God, Allah. We have to be content with what Allah has given to us. So those are the six important beliefs, Brother John. Do you understand them, and do you accept them?
Yeah, and he talked about the listening and being influenced by the career Islamophobes, the people who make a living. So they're setting up the most obstacles, spreading the most misinformation, these career, as he called them, Islamophobes. And he was a fan of theirs. He was following their content. He was probably regurgitating much of the same nonsense, much of the false information. But alhamdulillah, then he as he said, he wanted to know if he was actually, it was another side to the story. So he wanted to know if there was another side to the story, which there was. He got informed properly, and he's here with us. Alhamdulillah.
You know, many a times, alhamdulillah, right? It has a positive effect. When people are saying something wrong about Islam, more people get curious about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the Quran burning that happened in Norway and the Scandinavian countries, what the French president was saying about the hijab ban, what people are saying and doing on the internet, it just makes a person curious. You know, people are intelligent humans. So people become curious. Why would 2 billion people would be following Islam and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the Quran?
Mm-hmm.
So we as Muslims, we keep on doing what is right, what is true, without any distraction. No matter what they say, what they do, the Islamophobes, we keep on adhering and with focus and, you know, razor sharp focus, as we say, on sharing the faith. Allah guides whom He wills. Our job is just to make sure that we keep on conveying the message with the right methodology. And mashallah, mm-hmm. Brother John is one of those individuals, despite all the negative Islamophobia in this country around the world. Mashallah.
Inshallah, he gets back with us. He's having some technical difficulties. John, all right.
Guys, he's back. Apologize. I could hear everything you were saying, but my internet was cutting out and it ended up kicking me right out of the stream, and I was trying to get your attention, but No worries.
Dr. Sabil went over the 6 articles of faith. Were you able to catch that? Were you able to hear it? Were you able to understand it?
Yeah. Yes, I did hear all of them. I could tell that it was cutting out, but I did catch all of them. Yes.
Okay, Dr. Sabil, go ahead and continue from there.
Yeah. So really important. Now the 5 important pillars. The very first one is to recite the testimony of faith, that there is no other God besides one God, Allah, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the messenger of Allah. So Muslims recite it many times, and that is the main article, the main pillar of faith, which inshallah very soon you are going to do it today. The second one is to pray 5 times a day. And inshallah, God willing, we can send you some literature, we can include you into the classes that also show you how to pray the 5 daily prayers. The third one is to give obligatory charity, 2.5% of our safe assets at least once a year, for the poor, the needy, and the people who are less fortunate. And beyond that, you can give any amount as you want. And you said, you know, Muslims are the most charitable. Actually, according to the survey in the US, in the UK, in the Europe, Muslims are the most charitable people in the world. The third pillar is to fast in the month of fasting, which is coming up next week, Brother John, around 22nd of March. Have you ever fasted before?
Not really. I mean, and I was going to say, I still have a lot to learn about Islam, about the culture. And so I look forward to doing all of that. I mean, I fasted here and there when I still consider myself a Christian, and there's so much more that I want to speak with you guys about. Eddie, I hope that you will give me the opportunity to come to the Dean Show in Chicago, where we can actually sit down and maybe take an hour or two to talk about various ways to expand the Dawah, and I could share with you my ideas. I've been sharing a lot of them with Brother Sabil, and also about where the country is at and how it presents a huge opportunity for Islam. And so I hope I can get that opportunity with you one day.
We could do it proper in person.
There's a lot more I wanted to talk about, but we're trying to condense all this in a short video. So I just, it's not the same as really being able to take my time and speak like I would.
Yes.
I look forward to that. And Brother Sabil, I hope that you come out. And I have a gift for both of you. See, I've got my Shahada ring right here. I got a couple of them on Amazon. And, you know, I can't believe how beautifully they came out for, you know, I think I got this for like
a Shahada ring,
bucks.
Huh?
Yeah. I was surprised when Brother John said that yesterday, that there is a Shahada ring nowadays, right? Well, Shahada is in the heart.
So it, okay, well, it's just, it has it in Arabic on one side, and then when you turn it over, it has it in English. And, you know, I've just been wearing it the past few days. And I got one for you and one for Eddie. So I look forward to being able
So are you ready to actually take your Shahada now?
I am. Let's do it.
Alhamdulillah.
Let me just complete. So the fourth pillar is fast in the month of fasting, Ramadan. And the last pillar is to go once in a lifetime at least for pilgrimage, if the means allows it. Besides the five pillars, Brother John, a person, a Muslim, always have to aspire to gain knowledge. Knowledge is obligatory in Islam. Good knowledge, beneficial knowledge.
So Brother John, if you're there, let's proceed with the Shahada because
I'm here. Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we cannot see you. We can hear you.
Yes, we cannot see you. We can hear you.
Okay, I turned the camera off because I noticed it was starting to come back again, or it was starting to cut out again. So I turned the camera off just so you guys could hear me. But everybody knows what I look like. So, okay, let's do it, brother. I'm ready.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's first do this in English, Brother John. So please repeat after me, Brother John. I bear witness.
I bear witness.
There is no other God.
There is no other God.
Besides Allah.
Besides Allah.
And I bear witness.
And I bear witness.
That Muhammad, peace be upon him.
That Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Is the messenger of Allah.
Is the messenger of Allah.
Very good. Let's do the same thing in Arabic, Brother John, for the sake of formality. So please repeat after me. Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illallah.
Illallah.
Wa ashhadu.
Wa ashhadu.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan.
Muhammada.
Abdu.
Abduhu.
Wa rasuluhu.
Wa rasuluhu.
Congratulations.
Welcome to Islam. I never thought this day would come. I never thought I'd be sitting here today converting to Islam after my after all the history that is involved in my life. And
there's hope for others who are following that same way of being harsh Islamophobes, listening to career Islamophobes, that they wanted to know the other side of the story like you did. You got educated properly. You're seeking the guidance from the Creator. And here we are, alhamdulillah.
And once again, guys, I apologize for my phone cutting out. How embarrassing. I apologize for that.
We'll do it proper. No worries.
But Brother Eddie, there's so much more. And Brother Sabil, there's so much more I wanted to say. Islamophobia is a business. And if they don't have Patreon donations, if people are not watching, then they're going to go away. But more importantly, here's what I would say to my brothers and sisters in Islam. Don't worry about them. All they can do is make YouTube videos. They can go after Islam and attack Islam. They can say whatever they want. But once people start seeing the good nature of Muslims and Islam, once they start feeling that sense of community, once they see your good nature, your charity, eventually the Islamophobes can scream as loud as they want. They can do whatever they want, but it's in the end, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. And last thing I want to say is that the messenger made clear that Islam would enter every house and before the day of judgment, that it would be the world's predominant faith. And it's happening. So they can say what they want, they can do what they want, but don't worry about them. Just concentrate on your dawah, concentrate on your good deeds, and in the end, Allah is going to prevail.
One last thing before we conclude. We got 1 minute left. For the people out there who are listening, similar situation, they've been listening to the career Islamophobes, now they're listening to you. What advice would you have for them to break through some of this fear and this ignorance?
I would say talk, go talk to some Muslims and see what they have to say. Get a copy of the Quran and actually read it. Put aside all your biases, and you know, they're friendly. They'll be happy to have you. And, you know, once you do, you'll be glad you did. You know, don't let that fear and ignorance take over. Don't let it drive your thought process. Go and speak to people like Brother Sabil and Brother Eddie. They'd be happy to have you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Congratulations again, brother.
Welcome to Islam. Alhamdulillah. Now you should share the message with people around you, starting with your family, neighbors, and all of humanity.
I look forward to that and learning how to pray. And
yes,
you know, there's so much I have to learn now.
Step by step. Yep.
We'll send you a Shahada package, inshallah, Brother John. And that will get you started. We can appoint a mentor for you, classes for you, right? This is the services from the Muslim community, mashallah, and gain peace and being sure to you. I'm happy for you. May Allah make you strong in faith. May Allah help you to read more and to practice more and share this wonderful faith, starting with your family and the rest of humanity. Ameen. Congratulations.
Congratulations, brother. Thank you.
Sure.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless you. Having this opportunity, both of us, to share in this wonderful day, Jummah day, and also this brother, alhamdulillah, accepting Islam. From a harsh Islamophobe to someone who has submitted his will to the creator of the heavens and the earth, a Muslim. Alhamdulillah.
Eddie is taking this amana of the people very seriously. He was just sharing a story with me that they had some benches inside that needed to be moved, and Eddie together, father and son, were lifting these benches. Join us in this project, inshallah, so we can establish a beautiful Deen Center.